Blog Talk Radio.
Well, well, it's Friday. Time for Training Tech Talk. And
Training
that's it,
Tech Talk!
And today, I think we're going to have fun with this show. You and I are both kind of curious beings when it comes to technology and gadgets.
Oh, man.
And how things
no
work.
Kidding.
And so having said that, the CES, Consumer Electronics Show, was just last week in Vegas. I've never been
to
the
actual show.
When
are we going to get invited to that, Nancy?
Yeah.
When?
Yeah. We should have a TTT booth there next year. Training Tech Talk goes to Vegas.
Oh, my gosh.
Road trip.
Yeah. What happens in Training Tech Talk in Vegas?
Yeah,
gets out on the radio.
Stage. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That gets
right.
out
that's
on the radio.
We well, you know what we'd have to do there. And,
what?
And I didn't check to see if a lot of this was going on, but we could Periscope.
What?
You know what Periscoping is.
Of course I do.
Yeah,
yes, of course.
So we could Periscope at the CES show.
Wow.
Think about that. Of course,
I love
if
the
we
idea.
Wanted to, we could go to, I'm looking right at their website right now. Register now, May 11th, Shanghai, China, CES, Asia.
Wow. When's that?
So that's same thing as Vegas, but it's in China. But I just found out a friend of mine's daughter is teaching and living in China right now. They're going to go visit her.
Nice.
You have to get a visa. You have to go. You have to get a visa.
Sure.
In addition to your passport to go to China. I did not know
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you can't just go.
Apparently not. You have to be state your purpose and reason all that. Anyway, so one of the things that I was picking out, so I looked at this show when it was actually going on. Hold on, I'm going to sneeze.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a sneeze button. So drones, I would say drones is certainly something that people were looking into and checking out. There was a lot of buzz around technology being built into cars.
Yes.
Excuse me. Yes. And they even interviewed the CEO of Ford. I did hear that on public radio the other day. And he's talking about how when the whole Uber phase started to come out, what they realized was that fewer and fewer people would be motivated to buy a car. If you lived in a large city, why would I need a car ever? I just Uber everywhere.
Right.
And so, you know, therefore we're thinking like, oh crap, we gotta find some way of expanding our business so that we're just not locked into being an automobile maker. So now that they're getting into embedding things in the car, computers that they have been, but they're expanding upon that to maybe generating, you know, what's going on outside the exterior of the car, or, you know, where a car is parked and how long are they parked there for. So he says, we're going to become more of a data company than we are an automotive company.
Wow.
So that was very, you know, good that he actually was publicly stating that because, again, I mean, even though the automotive industry is having one of the best years of their lives right now.
Right.
Thanks to President Obama. Yes, I said it. Thanks to him. but this is, you know, the self-driving car was the other kind of big buzz thing there that, you know, so along with the drones, along with the self-driving cars, along with, I think they shut down, there was a Chinese company there that had a hoverboard.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw this. And the hoverboard, the company in California who has patents on this, the federal government actually came in and shut their booth down, the Chinese company booth down, because they produced evidence to demonstrate they were infringing on their patents.
Wow.
At the show. You're like, what? So I thought that was really interesting.
Absolutely.
You know, because I think last year it was all the Fitbit, Internet of Things. You know, so some of these, they're still prominent at this show, but that wasn't kind of that. The virtual reality, I think, stuck out much more. Robots, And I think the robots kind of go in sync with self-driving cars and drones and all of that kind of third party or non-human transportation, if you will.
Right.
You know, so I'm looking at this document that was right from their website as far as the five technologies to watch. So they're saying drones, obviously, virtual reality. But the other one that I thought was very interesting was it's all about context. And so,
in what context are they using the word context?
I'm glad you asked that question. So this guy, Rick Kowalski, was the one that wrote this up. He says, you know, there's been context-related technology or context-aware that's been around. He says, for example, is it here? You know, when you're doing spell check, the word knows that you're spelling a word, so it's aware of whether or not you're spelling a word correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're getting context-aware location-based applications. So like Foursquare, you're checking it. It's aware that you're at some place. Do you want to allow the GPS to signify to other people that you're there? So the driving cars now is context aware.
Mm-hmm.
The other anticipatory context awareness is beginning to emerge. So this is where it's going. So now it's like, okay, you're in, but now let's anticipate something that's going to happen. So in the case of typing on a smartphone or software, is predicting what you'll want to do in the next second or two. So that's artificial intelligence is now getting built into the smartphones because it's trying to guess, based upon the context of what you're saying, I'm going to guess that the next word is probably going to be this. And it's already doing
right.
that.
Yep.
Right.
And some
and so,
with better success than others,
yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, exactly. So then they get into enter the assistants. So they're looking at all the different mobile assistants, Siri, Cortana. I've talked about my Alexa. She's doing a fabulous job, by the way.
Of course.
So, but then this, I loved, this is music to my ears. He talks about how now natural language processing
mm-hmm.
is enabling these devices. He says voice processing and natural language processing will be crucial technologies for ensuring positive and meaningful interactions with our devices. So voice to text, which is a major step in Google and Apple. And so what I have been trying to build and had built, what, almost 3 years ago now, Talk to CRM.
Right.
Nobody's bought that from me, Talk to CRM. It's like, come on, people. Maybe I should have taken it to the CES show.
There, you should be there.
But, you know, now I'm seeing potential opportunities where the first stage of that is, which is, as I just stated contextually, speech to text. So now we're seeing customers that have thousands and thousands of hours of recorded audio conversations. Now they're saying, hey, why aren't we transcribing this? And why aren't we taking that transcription and doing something with it?
Right.
So, again, I was like 3 years ahead of everybody when I saw that. I'm like, whoa, you know, you could do with this. And so I see that coming into the forefront from a performance support, from a sales enablement, call center, voice analysis. So there's tons of companies out there right now doing voice analytics. And
mm-hmm.
part of that is taking that transcribed conversation. So now let's say it can be this, what they should be doing, especially in call centers. I don't know why they're not doing this. When they ask you for your account number and your name, why do you have to repeat it again when somebody gets on the phone? It's like, hey, you have the technology. You fooled me into thinking that's what you were doing, but something happened and I have to start over again.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Although I have to say there have been a few times more recently with companies where I've entered the information and they had it all right there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or I had to give them very little information, and based on the number I was calling from and that kind of, they had all of that information immediately.
Right.
Available.
So they say, yeah, so they say kind of where this is going. So it's, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. So his little calendar goes out to 2019.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the CTA market research. I don't know who that is. What does he say? So overseeing the leading operating system, Microsoft, Apple, Google are leading the charge in context-aware computing. The magnitude of each of these ecosystems allows for each company to monitor and learn a huge amount of data generated from these platforms. But he's saying, you know, looking at other devices, TVs, smartwatches, cars, personal assistant interfaces, wearables, smartwatches, worldwide shipping, logistics, and from a consumer standpoint, you know, you look at your lifestyle types of technology,
mm-hmm.
and then I kept seeing this word pop up, the Internet of MEMS and sensors. Now, I should know what MEMS is. I don't know if you know. M-E-M-S.
MEMS, not memes. Huh.
Right.
No,
I was looking at it first like memes, too. I was in my head of saying memes, but it's MEMS. The Internet of MEMS and sensor conference track presented by MEMS Industry Group. So I'm just going to look that up right now because I can't do that.
Yeah.
So the rest of our listeners can at their next cocktail party say, well, you know, the MEMS stuff that's coming out.
Or the Internet
right,
of MEMS.
So about, there's a MEMS industry group, if you want to join that. Looks
what does
like
it stand for, though?
Okay, why don't you guess what it stands for, and then I'll tell you what it stands for.
Emulation. Mechanical emulation mannerisms. Monster ignitable machines.
Oh, I know what it is now. Okay.
Well,
but
big
I'm
brain.
Surprised they're using this
here.
Term. Well, only because I looked it up. Micro electromechanical systems.
Ah!
So it's so is a technology that is most general form can be defined as miniaturized mechanical and electromechanical elements that are used in the techniques of microfabrication. There you go.
Is there
which
an
could
example
be,
of such things?
I would say the drones could be probably part of that. What is MEMS technology? MEMS Clearinghouse. So that's for another day.
Yeah. Wow.
But these tiny, tiny little circuit boards, microscopic images of surfaces. Yeah, I mean, it's, I would say almost nanotechnology might fall into that.
That sounds like. It's like they've already got a word for that. Why'd you go
create
another
it means
word
nano.
To make it more confusing?
I know. Maybe this has more moving parts.
It's
electromechanical because nano, I don't know if there's like moving parts in nano. Anyway, now my head's starting to hurt.
We're really down a rabbit hole, aren't
we're
we?
Getting down in the rabbit hole, yeah. Okay, so. The other one that was getting into play was the new face of retail.
How
much Christmas shopping did you do online this year?
All of it.
Mm-hmm.
Every single bit of it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But now what does that change? So if you're decreasing the real estate you need per store, where is that being shifted to?
To warehouse.
Exactly. Ding, 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 ding. And in the warehouse, what types of technology are they needing to ensure that you get that package delivered the next day or same day?
They need to be able to get what you need quickly to a box to ship it to you or a person. But they'd also like to not keep stuff on hand there either. So they've got a pretty rapid pull system that they have to do from the manufacturers.
So they kind of broke this down into two areas. One is what's changing from the physical store, real estate, and warehousing dichotomy, but also to, and I've seen a lot of this come out, is near-field communications, and also I just saw the pinging. I call it the pinging technology, where I have a shoot. I just saw it. I forget what it's called. Beacons. So beacons.
Oh, like keep
so
alive
let's say.
Kind of things?
Yeah. So if I'm walking past the store, it can my smartphone can automatically shoot me a coupon for that store.
Yes.
So that's what's called a beacon. But then the near field communication could be payment system, wireless mobile payment systems.
Well, they've also developed stuff, Nancy, to allow you to be then walking through your store. Like, let's just, for example, go like, oh, we're in a big box Best Buy kind of store. So you walk
mm-hmm.
past the TVs because you've wanted a giant monster TV because that's so you.
Always,
And you've walked by them now three times, and it's tracked you walking by them now three
mm-hmm.
times. It could send an associate over to you. It could send you a special coupon, hey, that has to do with that particular TV that you seem to be standing in front of and checking out. There's a lot of interesting things where they can track you
right.
just like they do in virtual land. They can track you in the brick-and-mortar store as well.
Yes, and so they said the stores that beacons are most useful in, 68% are mass market, like Target, Walmart. But the second
yep.
one is, just like you said, electronic stores.
Mm-hmm.
Then home improvement, office supply, other blah, blah, blah. So on down the line.
And if you
so
use their free Wi-Fi, they can also
mm-hmm.
tell that you're going out and checking, say, Amazon for the same price of the same thing.
Same price.
And again,
exactly. Yep.
give you a coupon that if you buy this today, we can match that price. You can
yeah.
walk out with it today.
Yeah. So
very personal.
Whole other yeah. So then the next area to watch is home. So the smart
house. Yeah.
Home. So there's lots of home-based technologies with the smart home. I saw even last year. I think we talked about this. Was the smart refrigerator, the smart appliance that's connected to you that helps update your shopping cart and all that kind of stuff. But now you see the
Love
temperature
that.
Control. You see the remote security, the remote temperature control from your smartphone.
Right.
So you see a lot of that coming to play. Even my Alexa.
Remote locks. Mm-hmm.
Yes. My Alexa will interact with the Nest thermostat or if you have maybe an electronic. Yes. So they're coming out. There's a, I think it's free, a developer's kit, software developer's kit for Alexa for people. They want people to develop applications for it. So they're like,
right,
hey, please
right.
interact with this device so that more and more people will buy this lovely
yeah.
personal assistant. But, you know, you also have to think about security. I had a friend that's house was broken into, so he's really techie. And he set up his own home security system that he can monitor from his smartphone anywhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I would imagine, Nancy, that those kinds of things, because the first thing I think of is when we start talking about attaching everything to our networks is how secure really are our networks. And
mm-hmm.
I think the biggest key that I have to throw out there as just a bottom level, at least do this, whatever device that you're adding, putting on creating your network with, just don't keep the same default password. If you can just change the password,
yeah.
right. you'll be so far ahead of so many other people that just don't. And again, then trying to make it more cryptic is all bonus points. But if you can just
mm-hmm.
change the default, that's the oh,
yep.
gosh,
yep.
gosh, gosh.
Okay, so now I won't spend too much time on that because the next one is,
mm-hmm.
is this number five. Tech is transforming Hollywood, and they don't mean necessarily how movies are shot. It's the distribution side of how we're all watching movies. And so Netflix obviously has been kind of a driver in this. It says Netflix's story is well known, but it's still worth looking at. How the company changed its business model to coincide with consumer preferences, as in, used to be videos shipped to your store, now they're emailing, replaced with a trip to the video store with the home delivery, now it's the streaming, and now, you know, setting the tone for creating your own shows. That, you know, then Amazon jumped on the bandwagon, Hulu's jumped on the bandwagon, even one of my favorite shows in comedians getting coffee in cars on
my
another
gosh.
Streaming
yeah,
channel.
Yeah.
And he went to all the other big players. Nobody would pick it up.
Sure.
And so I'm trying to think of the name of the channel he did because it's on my Roku box. It'll come to me. Or replaying old shows and rebroadcasting, like the whole all of Seinfeld now is streaming from Hulu, that kind of thing.
Right, right.
And so the old saying, 57 channels and nothing's on, well, guess what? Now you're getting all these streaming channels. But I would have to say, I remember when the first TiVo boxes, so the first kind of iteration of streaming was
The DVR. Yeah.
Right. And I thought when TiVo first came out, because I was jumped on that right away, I thought, wow, this is really cool. And then TiVo started to embed streaming things into it. So I think I think people kind of forget about TiVo now in the DVRs. But that technology had to be in place. So put yourself in the Wayback Machine. Cartoon. What cartoon was that? Aesop's Fables, whatever the cartoon was. Anyway, this cartoon character would go in the Wayback Machine. And so back in 1994, 1995, I worked for Philips Electronics. They were, at that time, trying to create these set-top boxes. And I believe they actually had them in place. And we actually had a box that had the internet connected to it. Of course, it was the dial-up modem built into it.
Well, sure.
You know, and so the very first place they actually had success with those was in hotels. Because you had a controlled environment, you had a controlled networking infrastructure of wiring. You know, you're running the phone wire into the room. You can run the modem wire into the room. That let people pick movies. So that was a huge revenue stream for the hotel industry by having those movies on demand in your hotel room.
Right.
But so now this whole streaming and all this, you know,
but I'm betting you see that back then, because now is such a different world as far as just the network of the world. But back then, that was very expensive for the hotels to implement the level of wiring and service that needed to be in place to allow that to happen in the room, which is why those movies were $8.99 a movie. They were expensive, but yeah, you're absolutely right. But now things have changed. I mean, now,
good
Lord, we've got cities that are parks that are wireless, just open access.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
It's very
different. But this is driving what they're looking at is the protocol for the compression standards.
Yes.
Now, this one is called, in a nod to the importance of IP, ATSC has chosen IP as a basic transport structure for the next generation standard called ATSC 3.0.
Okay.
It will address both broadcast and internet connections, allowing receivers to deliver new services that combine content over the air with internet-delivered content. So basically saying, I'm going to get internet-based content and streaming content at the same quality. That's what I'm reading into that. What does it say here? The infrastructure for internet video library is racing to beat the increase in internet video. In the Visual Networking Index forecasts, Cisco predicts that 80% of global IP traffic will be video. 80%.
Yeah, that's...
In 2019... Matching that trend, almost two-thirds of internet traffic will be carried by content delivery networks, CDNs, by 2019, a dramatic rise from 39%. Wow, only 39%. Oh, my gosh.
So meaning
CDN providers like Acme, Amazon, Limelight, Level 3, Microsoft run distributed networks of proxy servers and data centers that push video content closer to consumers.
Wow.
So, wow, that is really interesting and not surprising. Not surprising at all. And so that,
wow.
Just as you were saying, so the kind of the last one here is the rise of smart cities.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see how much time we have left. 4 minutes, okay. So why? What defines a smart city? It's the term smartphone was first coined in 1995. Likewise, the definition constitutes a smart city keeps shifting. There is no universal definition of what typifies a smart city because every city has unique needs. The use of technology. So to me, when I hear smart city, I'm hearing free internet everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking of. I don't know how she would define a smart city. They're saying a smart city is simply a city that uses digitized, connected, sensorized technological solutions to meet its growing needs and opportunities. So there could be a whole host of other city planning, city infrastructure, road systems, who knows? So it basically says goals and objectives for smart cities, improve operations of the city's functions, efficiency of land, reduce inefficiencies of resources, improve citizen engagement,
mm-hmm.
improve sustainability through urban gardening, pull together multiple diverse stakeholders, blah, blah, blah. So there's like 13 different points on here. Examples and implications of the smart city technologies. I was looking to see if they actually had. I don't see a city that they're actually listing as somebody that's actually done that. But the City Science Initiative at the MIT Media Lab, so if anybody's mm-hmm. really interested in this, say Copenhagen, the city's award-winning plan seeks to collect and use data to make Copenhagen carbon neutral by 2025. Now, I will say, somebody was just over there. Bikes everywhere, bikes.
Really?
I mean, it's you take our 6-lane freeway and picture
yeah.
just bikes on it. That many bikes at one time in motion.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
And I can see why they have this goal of lowering their carbon spot. Because everybody's on bikes over there. It's so small.
Right. Wow.
So they've got New York, Seattle, Seoul, Singapore, Vienna, Washington, D.C., Barcelona. So this is a global initiative, obviously. So anyway, those were kind of the top 5 trends. But then the other, I thought I pulled out an education. Where is it? Agile learning. So I'm going to
mm-hmm.
close upon, wrap it up here. Agile learning. So when I hear agile website, agile content development, now
mm-hmm.
they're using the agile learning, what developers can teach us. So there was actually a panel. So I'm trying to, if I can find, if this was videotaped and find it, I will put it in the blog post. But the people on the panel, the moderator was Jeff Young, senior editor of Chronicle of Higher Education. And then 3 speakers, Andrew Smith Lewis, founder and chairman of executive Cerigo. Don't know what that is. Dr. Jan Ploss, Paulette Goddard, chair of digital media and learning sciences, New York University, and John Stowe, president of Dev Bootcamp. And I would have to say that John Stowe probably has more to say than the other 2 people discussing.
Mm-hmm.
But I could be wrong. So I will put links to this on the blog post. So if you're listening to this in some other streaming media, certainly, go to the website knowledgeshift.net and click on the resources and look for the blog right there. And, so I think that's a good time to wrap things up, don't you? Well, they think so. They're ready to get the weekend started. And so am I. Woo! All
Woo-hoo!
Right. Well, thank you again, Allison, for another great show of Training Tech Talk. And remember, if you have any questions or suggestions for speakers, send me an email, nancy@knowledgeshift.net. All right.
Yep.
Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta.